Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is the War in Ukraine Daily. I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles. The war being documented in real time, TV, radio, on the internet. What happens when it's over? The task turns to rebuilding and recovery, efforts that are going to take generations. We'll hear from a Ukrainian woman who wants to tell the story of what happens after the war is over. We'll also go to Ukraine, learning more about the rocket attack that officials say killed 50 people at a train station in the eastern part of the country.
We start with the plans to tell the story of a post-war Ukraine. A woman from Kharkiv, who fled the country, is an aspiring screenwriter aiming to tell the story of Ukraine post-war when there is finally peace. Olena is with us now. She's from Kharkiv, but left after the war started. She's now in Italy and is a screenwriter planning to tell the post-war story. Olena also at one time lived in Southern California in West Hollywood. Olena, thanks for being with us. So let's start with what the last few weeks have been like for you, making it out of Ukraine to Italy and then watching the war unfold in your country.
Hello. Yes, I left Ukraine about a month ago, and I'm safe right now. I don't know, can you ask me a more specific question? Like, what do you want to hear?
Well, you left, you said, about a month ago. Why did you make the decision to leave? Some people, we've talked to a number of people who have stayed, and we've also talked to others who have left. What was the reason you decided to leave Ukraine and go to Italy?
First, I left my city. I went to another city in Ukraine, and then I decided to leave Ukraine because I found a place to stay in Italy, and I was scared that other cities in Ukraine will be bombed as well as mine, and I was so afraid to hear that sound again that I decided to move on.
Are you with friends, family?
I left with my close friend.
So you are a screenwriter by profession, is that right? Because you were living for a while in West Hollywood out here in Southern California. Is it your intention, I understand, to what? To write a screenplay about the experiences that Ukraine is going through? Is that it?
Well, I create video content, and that's what I've been doing in Ukraine. I told Donald, I think that was his name.
Our producer, yes.
I'm working on some stuff because all my projects that were dropped because of the war and right before the war started, I was hired to develop a TV series for TV channel, and we were supposed to shoot in Kharkiv, and right now it's impossible. I think I'm sure that project will never happen because the city is completely destroyed, and I don't think there will be any shooting in the nearest future. And I'm just working on some projects that I still have, and my art is the only thing I have right now. And yeah, I'm trying to work on some stuff that might be useful in the future.
When you think about what that's going to look like, you know, how do you envision it panning out when you eventually can go back to your country? What is the post-war story look like to you?
I think a lot of people will be traumatized, and the stories I'd like to develop is how they're going to overcome this, how they're going to start to live again.
Do you still have friends and family left behind in Ukraine? And if so, have you been able to talk with them recently?
Yeah, of course. I have a lot of friends in Kharkiv. My family, I don't have a lot of family, but they're not in the hot spot. They're in other cities. They're reasonably safe. I'm in touch with them all the time, and I know what's going on in my city. I watch the news. I'm watching it, I'm checking it all the time, in real time.
What goes through your mind when you watch? Obviously, you're in a safe place. Some of your friends are not. You know what's happening. You've seen the destruction. It must be terrible to watch.
I think every person who is safe right now, who is abroad, I know everyone is asking if it was the right decision to leave, or whether I should have stayed. And all of my friends are there. Not all of them, but there are a lot of them who stayed, and they're volunteers, they're trying to help, and they're keeping together. And I'm here, very far from them, and sometimes I'm questioning what is the right choice to stay there and be somehow useful and be with them together, but be all the time in danger and be scared, or to choose to save your psych, your mental condition and your health, but be so far and not be so useful, be able to help as much as you could, probably.
We mentioned at the beginning that for a while you lived in West Hollywood. Were you working in the film or TV industry out here?
I was trying to. I was doing editing mostly at that time. I wasn't a screenwriter. But my visa expired. I was a student. I got my education in the States.
Have you thought about...
Yeah, so I got my film degree.
Right. So you're in Italy now. Have you thought about coming back to the States to pursue your screenwriting?
Not really, because I know I've been there, and I know how hard it is to make it for U.S. screenwriters, and it is even harder to make it for foreigners. It's too hard for me right now to think about something like that. It's a too big goal, I guess.
What do you want people here to know about what's happening in Ukraine?
It's a tough question. I don't know. I think you already know what's going on. I hope that people won't stop asking and being curious about what's going on, because there are still people are being killed and cities being destroyed and the whole country is being destroyed. And I hope that the world won't give up on this. They won't get tired of this, and they won't stop supporting us until it all ends.
Olena there is from Kharkiv now in Italy, screenwriter, planning to tell some of these stories, she said, of the trauma, but then the recovery. Olena, thank you for speaking to us. Another attack rocking Ukraine. Missile hit a train station in the eastern part of the country. Thousands of civilians had gathered there in hopes of leaving the region, escaping the military operations. Officials say 50 were killed.
Photos from the train station showed bodies covered with tarps on the ground and the remnants of a rocket with the words in Russian "for the children" spray painted on it. More on this now from journalist Phil Itner, who joins us from Lviv, Ukraine. Phil, thanks for coming back with us. Let's start with that message on the side of the rocket at the train station. What is the meaning of that, "for the children"?
Yeah, disturbingly so, written in Russian. It does look like there was more than, according to Ukrainian authorities and a couple of other independent authorities, it does look like there was more than one. And that at least one was either destroyed by anti-missile systems or went off course. These particular missiles that were being used are not known to be precise, so one shudders to think what could have happened had the full effect of this attack happened at that train station, which was just jam-packed with thousands of people trying to get out of the region.
And has been jam-packed for a while, so it's not like the Russians didn't know that people were using that all the time to try and get out. So this falls right into that category we've seen before of just outrageous cruelty and civilian targets.
Yeah, it's interesting, within the last 20 minutes or so, I monitor Russian communiques, and I will not repeat exactly what was said because I don't like to further Russian disinformation, but I'll give you the crux of what the argument is coming out of the Russian Foreign Ministry. They are claiming that this was done by Ukrainians themselves, but if one tries to follow the mentality of that, they're saying that the Ukrainians fired on these people trying to flee the Donbass region because they are separatists, and the Ukrainians hate these separatists. But then why would they attack people who were trying to flee the separatist area? The disinformation coming out of Moscow is astounding, and there can be little doubt that it was the Russians. Of course, there'll have to be a full-fledged investigation. But the logic is so twisted that already you start to see huge holes in this logic. And so it belays a sentence in my analysis of this, having studied this situation for as long as I have. It belies logic, and it just shows the cynicism coming from Moscow that they would believe the Ukrainians, in order to, I guess, drum up more support in the international community, something they already have, that they would attack thousands of their own citizens out of spite because they were trying to leave a separatist part of the country because they hate those people. I mean, you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, yeah. It just unravels. Yeah,
exactly. It falls apart upon first inspection, and it's distressing to see that some people would buy into that narrative.
How about today where you are? I know that Lviv has sort of come in and out of the news as being, you know, it's one day it's kind of quiet around where you are, then another day it gets kind of closer, the combat. How is it now?
For the last couple of days, it's been relatively quiet. We haven't had anything headed in our direction. We've had a few alarm signals, but that's generally because what happens is the Russians will shoot something off in this direction, and until they know exactly where it's coming, anything that's even remotely headed in this way, the alarm sirens go off. But most of these missiles, because they're long range, have a second stage booster. And so before they hit that second stage and actually take direction to whatever target they're trying to hit, the authorities here try to warn the people. So we get this constant or near constant, often, air raid signs, which just adds to the anxiety of the people here. I mean, while we may not get hit, we are constantly being reminded that we are at threat. In addition to that, one of the things that's so distressing here is you see the refugees, and most notably the children, and that's the most terrible thing about all of this, is that you see young children, 10 years old, with that kind of thousand-yard stare that people get when they're in extended periods of combat or under distress, and to see a child have PTSD at 10, it's distressing to see. And of course, it's also just being a strain on the city itself, a strain that the city is more than willing to accept, but it is still nevertheless a strain.
Journalist Phil Itner from Lviv, Ukraine. Phil, thank you again. This is an Odyssey original. Find us on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Stitcher.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.